Thanks, Kelly. I want to back up a little bit before I get to the members of the Council for National Policy. I started last week explaining what the John Birch Society was all about. And, of course, the John Birch Society developed an intelligence operation called the Western Goals. And in the course of my study on the Council for National Policy, I discovered that the principles of this Western Goals Foundation, which was an espionage organization for doing espionage on ordinary citizens, the same principles in the Western Goals Foundation were the people who started the Council for National Policy. And so this seemed very strange to me. So I began to investigate exactly what transpired between the Western Goals and the Council for National Policy, and I had to go back in history, really, to the World Anti-Communist League. And you'll never understand the Council for National Policy until you understand the World Anti-Communist League. Do you remember I spoke last week about Western Goals of the John Birch Society bringing the Nazi network over to the United States through our CIA, and that Western Goals actually worked with Reinhard Gehlen and had a branch over there in Germany. And this Nazi network took root in the United States. These Nazi war criminals were employed in American corporations. They rose to positions of power in the government, but their dossiers had been sanitized. No one knew who they really were. And this Nazi network is now operating through the Council for National Policy. Many, many, many of the people in that organization have ties with neo-Nazis, former Nazis, and many, many of them, as you discovered, Kelly, are fronts for Sun Myung-moon. And in the course of my research, I discovered that the World Anti-Communist League also had ties to Sun Myung-moon. So I want to go through a little bit of history here. It may seem unnecessary, but it would be pointless to try to deal with Council for National Policy unless I explain.
Barbara, can I interrupt you just a second?
Sure.
I was wondering, since this is such a secret group, we've been and how have we been able to find out the names of people who are members?
There is a website. They keep changing addresses, and I had to go find the new address, but I have a link to it from my Council for National Policy.
Their own personal webpage?
No.
Okay.
This is another. It used to be IFAS, but now it's changed to the public information something or other. I can give it to you, and you can give it out tomorrow. I don't have it on offhand.
Okay.
If you do a search for the Council for National Policy, you will probably find it, or you can go to my report on the Council for National Policy. At the very end of the database, I have a link to that. And that gives what I think is an old list, a few years old, but it's the most recent that we have, and it's quite extensive.
And who gives that list out? I mean, how did they get the list, I wonder?
Well, they're very secretive themselves.
Okay.
I think this is a list. They really don't give much information about the CNP.
I was thinking that the CNP had their own web page at one point. I thought I had gone to it over the years, but maybe I haven't. They don't have any web page themselves?
Well, this might be it, because they don't give too much information.
Right.
They just give the members.
Right. I've been to that before.
And
okay.
It kind of gives the idea that they're being open and honest about themselves, but you have no idea until you start researching the background of this organization and the background of the individuals.
Well, we've got someone who's wanting to come on and debate possibly John Lofton and the Dominionists, and they've never heard of the Council for National Policy. So I was trying to send them all the web pages and couldn't find their own web page to send them to while researching it. So I definitely need that new link since they keep changing it all the time. So I'll get it from you.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so I'd like to read. Okay, so the this Nazi network that Western Goals of the John Birch Society was working with formed the World Anti-Communist League, so that you had all of these Nazi war criminals all over the world who had never been tried as war criminals, and they were networking and conducting planning and conducting fascist operations the world over. So I'd like to read a little bit about this World Anti-Communist League, because this Council for National Policy was very involved in it, and many of the founders of the Council for National Policy were either founders or active in the World Anti-Communist League. And when you think of anti-communist, that sounds good, until you realize that these are former Nazi war criminals. I'd just like to read an excerpt from a very good book on the subject called Inside the League. When most people think of Nazis, two images are evoked: aging war criminals, the Joseph Mengeles and Klaus Barbies, living in frightened obscurity somewhere in South America, or else of disenchanted youths who in brown shirts and jackboots vandalize synagogues and march through city streets. But there's a third type of Nazi who is far more powerful, public and dangerous than the other two. These are the Croatians, the Slovaks, the Ukrainians, the Latvians who carried out the German-directed massacres, who never faced a Nuremberg, and who joined the World Anti-Communist League. The participation of these Eastern Europeans in the Holocaust remains one of the least told stories in modern history. The reason for this is simple. Many of them were recruited by American and British intelligence, brought to the United States and Canada, allowed to rise to prominent positions in their emigre communities, and ultimately to revise history. Through their front groups and through their involvement in American politics, Nazi collaborators have blended in and become respectable, and we're going to see that in the Council for National Policy. But first, I want to state that the World Anti-Communist League actually started out as the Asian People's Anti-Communist League. And this was at the end of World War II. The founders of the Asian People's Anti-Communist League were agents of the governments of Taiwan and Korea. And I'm going to read from the Interhemispheric Research Center file on this organization. It talks about the collaboration that went on between the Japanese mafia, fascists, and the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the head of the Unification Church. The founders of the APACL were agents of the governments of Taiwan and Korea, including Park Chung-Lee, who later became the president of Korea, Yoshio Kadama, a member of organized crime in Japan, Ryoki Sasakawa, a gangster and Japanese billionaire jailed as a war criminal after World War II, and Osama Kubaki and other followers of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the head of the Unification Church. Sasakawa provided major funding for Moon and the Unification Church when Park became president of South Korea after the 1961 coup. He adopted the Unification Church as his political arm. So now we get a little bit of an idea of who the Reverend Sun Myung Moon really is. And, of course, he controls the Council for National Policy, the direction of it, and many of the members of the CNP. Now I'm reading from another article, Robert Perry's Dark Side of Reverend Moon. Moon's church was active in the Asian People's Anti-Communist League, a fiercely right-wing group founded by the governments of South Korea and Taiwan. In 1966, the group expanded into the World Anti-Communist League, an international alliance that brought together traditional conservatives with former Nazis, overt racialists, and Latin American death squad operatives.
I've got also have a the U.S. House representative did a investigative hearings, congressional hearings on Sung Young Moon back in the 70s, and that and I have a copy of that if you'd like to see it. But it is quite amazing what they found out about Sung Young Moon working with the communist and the communist Koreans and what he was doing in this country. And let's not forget he spent some time in jail in this country. Also, and it was Jerry Falwell that helped get him out of jail. Barbara, also, there's a Christian anti-communist league, of which I get their email thinking it was good, and it's a bunch of pablum junk I've ever seen, but it's run by David Noble, Summit Ministries out of Colorado, who's also a member of the CMP.
Yes, well, these anti-communists read into that Nazis are everywhere now. They've become respectable. This is what the World Anti-Communist League did for them. It took these Nazi war criminals, this whole network, and merged them with respectable people who, of course, are anti-communist. But you also it also raised up many fronts, like the Council for National Policy, like the Unification Church, really many of them were religious fronts, many political, to carry out their agenda. They had to become respectable after the Second World War, and the World Anti-Communist League did this, but it started out over there in Korea, and I'd be very interested in that report that you have, Kelly. I also read that Sun Young Moon has some connection with someone with very deep pockets because his Unification Church does not come up with the kind of money that he spends.
We have some of his slave laborers live right here about 30 miles from me. The Moonies are right here in Mobile, Alabama, and they're now getting very active within the Republican Party here locally. But they, there's thousands of front groups, and a lot of them are slave labor. I remember one time doing a show, and one of the deputy sheriffs called my show, and she said what was happening here, whenever the women would give birth to basically their firstborn, somebody from out of the country would come to Spring Hill Hospital, about a mile from me, less, and pick up, the mother would say, I don't want that baby, and they'd pick up that Mooney baby and send it off to a foreign country. Well, of course, that was against the law, and this was back in the 80s. That was against the law, and so the hospital reported it, and they stopped them from sending their babies back over to wherever for whatever kind of training they might get. Right here in Mobile, Alabama, where we have them, front and center. Go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you. That's very interesting. What I've been trying to do is to determine the source of Moon's money, because he seems to have unlimited money whenever he wants to raise money for a right-wing cause. There's the money. And it's way out of proportion to what his church produces through whatever it is that they do, just average members of the Unification Church. But I did find that the European Center for Moon is located in Paris, and he does have accounts at the Rothschild Bank. And that's kind of my guess for where Moon is getting his money. He's just a front man, as there are so many front men for the House of Rothschild. But I'd like to go on about the World Anti-Communist League. In 1981, there was formed a United States chapter of the World Anti-Communist League. And this organization, this American organization, was formed by General John Singlob. Now, you may remember Singlob from the Iran-Contra hearings in the late 80s. He was also a founding member of the Council for National Policy. He was also connected to the Western Goals Foundation of the John Birch Society. John Singlob was a CIA agent in South Korea during the Korean War. Now, don't you think that possibly he made connections with Sun Myung-moon at that point? In 1945, Sun Myung-moon would have been 25 years old. He started his Unification Church just a year after John Singlob arrived in or was in South Korea. And it looks very suspicious that Singlob and Moon, whose organizations have developed this symbiotic relationship throughout the decades, were together there in South Korea during that post-war era. Now, a little bit about John Singlob, because I want the listeners to understand what types of individuals are really at the head of this Council for National Policy. Singlob, I'm going to read from an article called A Blueprint for Death Squads in North America by David Lethbridge. And he writes about John Singlob's activities in Vietnam and then what these intelligence operations were and how they were carried to Latin America. Since 1981, retired U.S. Major General John K. Singlob has been the leader of the World Anti-Communist League. Singlob's background includes CIA activities in China in the late 1940s, high-level CIA leadership in South Korea during the Korean War, and leadership of Operation Phoenix during the Vietnam War. Operation Phoenix involved psychological operations, intelligence, low-intensity warfare, and covert assassination programs. And in Operation Phoenix, over 200,000 civilians were murdered under the direction of John Singlob. Oliver North was also over there at that time. And there were other operatives who now present themselves as religious people, as Christians. Dean McGriff and Stephen Shearer of Antipas Ministries. I'm continuing to read from this Blueprint for Death Squads in North America. Under Singlob's leadership, the World Anti-Communist League funded the Contras in Nicaragua, UNITA in Angola, RENAMO in Mozambique, and other right-wing rebel movements. But what is most interesting for this analysis was the continuing relationship under Singlob of the World Anti-Communist League with the death squads that murdered tens of thousands of progressives, human rights activists, unionists, and other unwanted elements in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Argentina. Now, I just want to go into a little bit of how these death squads operated in Latin America, because there's virtually been a blackout in the American media, the mainstream media at least. There are other sources that document what went on in the various countries. But I just want to take for one example Guatemala. And since the 1800s, Guatemala has been marked by revolutions, coups, dictatorships, and various interventions by the United States. And the CIA, with virtually no support from the Guatemalan populace, orchestrated the overthrow of the Guatemalan government in 1954. This led to a period of unrest in the nation in which over 100,000 Guatemalans have been killed. And this 36-year war, which was orchestrated by our CIA, ended in the violence of it ended in 1996. And active, okay, this, there was an election in 1982 where the general Rios Montt was elected to the presidency of Guatemala. Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, who are both CNP members, promoted this General Montt, and he overcame his opponent in a bloody coup. Rios Montt was a convert of the Gospel Outreach, Verbo Ministries. Now, this Gospel Outreach was an outgrowth of the Jesus Movement, but it was a CIA operation. And I'm going to read about Gospel Outreach. This is from Colby and Dennett's book, Thy Will Be Done, The Conquest of the Amazon, Rockefeller and Evangelism in the Age of Oil. And I quote, Gospel Outreach is an evangelical Pentecostal church with headquarters in Eureka, California and Guatemala. It grew out of the Jesus People movement of the 1960s in the U.S. After the 1976 earthquake, 28 Gospel Outreach evangelicals from California arrived in Guatemala to help rebuild the country and establish the El Verbo Church. An early convert was General Rios Montt, who became president after a military coup in 1982. According to the Latin American Institute of Transnational Studies, within the first 9 months of Rios Montt's administration, 12 evangelical pastors were assassinated, 69 were kidnapped, 45 disappeared, 5 were jailed, 11 foreign missionaries were expelled, 88 evangelical churches were destroyed, and 50 more were occupied by the army. By 1986, Verbo Ministries reported 250 congregations. Verbo Ministries also runs a leadership training school with over 1,000 members, directed by Rios Montt himself. Rios Montt has been supported by Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Lauren Cunningham of Youth with Mission, and Jimmy Swaggart, provided financial support for schools of El Verbo in Guatemala. So you see what the CIA does. They create religious fronts for their terrorist activities. And their chief accomplices are members of the Council for National Policy in the United States. Now, as I said, I'm going to get into more of what's going on in Latin America. But I want to keep coming back to the John Birch Society and the Western Goals Foundation and the Council for National Policy, because these are really the public relations arm of this whole terrorist operation in Latin America that is soon going to be conducted in the United States. But in 1981, the very same year that the Council for National Policy was founded, John Singlob founded the U.S. arm of the World Anti-Communist League. It was called the United U.S. Council for World Freedom. The money, the startup money for that U.S. Council for World Freedom was the Hunt brothers in Texas and Joe Coors, who also happened to provide the startup money for the Council for National Policy. Now, on the advisory board of the U.S. Council for World Freedom, started by John Singlob, were Howard Phillips and Larry Pratt, among other Council for National Policy members. Now, you see how this all interconnects, and why I have to go into the World Anti-Communist League, because this is where these people are really coming from, despite their pleasant presentations before the evangelical Christians. Now, John Singlob was third president of the American or the World Anti-Communist League, following Lee Edwards and Roger Pearson. Serving on Singlob's advisory board, besides Howard Phillips, were men who were involved with the Western Goals. Andy Messing of the National Defense Council, Lieutenant General Daniel Graham, who was a member of Moon's CASA USA, which is the political arm of Sun Yung Moon's Unification Church. Also on the advisory board of Singlob's U.S. Council for World Freedom was Fred Schlafly, the husband of Phyllis Schlafly, who is a member of the Council for National Policy. Now, my question was, when I discovered Howard Phillips on this advisory board of an organization of fascists, was, what is a Jewish man doing on the board of the World Anti-Communist League? This organization was comprised of former Nazis, neo-fascists, Ku Klux Klan, racists, the most bigoted and anti-Semitic group of people you'd ever want to see. And Howard Phillips claims to be Jewish, but he's converted to becoming a Christian. Well, that seemed strange until I realized in my research that Jewish handlers often are at the very top levels of these seemingly fascist organizations. From an article called Rollback, Right-Wing Power in U.S. Foreign Policy, I found out that U.S. intelligence and officials have claimed that Israel has secretly provided several million dollars of aid to the Nicaraguan Contras as a political action in support of Rollback. Now, Rollback is rolling back the communist aggression. But do we really want fascists and Nazis in place of the communists? Also, I discovered that Israel was very active. Israeli espionage was very active in Latin America in training the terrorists and also providing, they were involved in the interrogations conducted by the death squads. This may be hard to understand why Jewish people would be involved at the highest levels of these anti-Semitic groups, but I'm currently reading a book called Adolf Hitler, the Founder of Israel, Israel in War with the Jews. And if you remember in my presentation on the Zionist movement, our Office of Strategic Services discovered that Adolf Hitler was part Jewish. And so when I learned that, I ordered this other book, which sets out to prove that not only was Hitler partly Jewish, but all of his Reich's Nazis, the top levels of the Nazi leaders, were either part Jewish or completely Jewish. And I don't have time to read the list of them now, but I'm going to be posting this on my website soon. If you want, get the book. It's available at Amazon. Adolf Hitler, Founder of Israel in War with the Jews. Now, in 1986, the Iran-Contra scandal broke. And when this happened, the U.S. Council for World Freedom, Western Goals was shutting down about that time. But Sun Myung-moon and the Council for National Policy were all collaborating to get Oliver North and his cohorts off the hook for, and our government, the Reagan administration, for selling arms to Iran and then using the money to supply the Contra rebels in Nicaragua. And John Singlob worked with Oliver North to enable the Contra resistance in Nicaragua. In doing so, they were also assisting David Rockefeller and J. Peter Grace, who were CFR members, with what has amounted to the corporate takeover of Latin America. And if you look at the people involved in the advisory board of the World Anti-Communist League, they are former Western Goals members. I'll just mention a few of them. Oliver North, although he wasn't directly involved with Western goals. He was with Linda Gould, who worked with CASA, and who took over Western goals after Larry McDonald died. Andrew Messing was another one who was a private Contra supporter and the head of the National Defense Council, and he collaborated with Linda Gould. Daniel O. Graham, head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He was a member of the World Anti-Communist League, and he was a former member of the advisory board of CASA, which is the Moon's political front. He wrote pamphlets for the Western goals. Sherman Unkafer served in, as an advisor to Chile's regime under Augusto Pinochet, who ousted Allende, courtesy of our CIA. Mildred Faye Jefferson, she was on the National Policy Board of the American Freedom Council, which had ties to the Unification Church. And get this, Mildred Faye Jefferson was also the president of the Right to Life Crusade and the National Right to Life Foundation. So, and Sing Lob, Daniel Graham, and Mildred Jefferson were members of the National Policy Board of the American Freedom Coalition, a political organization with extensive ties to the Unification Church. So, founding this horde of Nazis, or, I'm sorry, funding them, were Texas oil billionaires Nelson Bunker Hunt and William Herbert Hunt, who also funded the Council for National Policy. Now, a couple of the founding members of the Council for National Policy were Morton Blackwell and Paul Weyrich. And they were very close to an organization in Chile. Actually, its headquarters, I believe, is in Brazil, called Tradition, Faith, Family, and Property, TFP. And they work with the heads of Tradition, Family, and Property in their various roles. Paul Weyrich, of course, is founded the Heritage Foundation and the Free Congress Foundation. Morton Blackwell runs the Leadership Institute that trains many young people for these fascist operations. But the in Chile and other Latin American countries, the CIA helped to finance the right-wing Tradition, Family, and Property, which played a role in the overthrow of both Allende in Chile and Goulart in Brazil. Morton Blackwell, now the head of Tradition, Family, and Property is Juan Plinio de Correa de Olivier, and he wrote a book called Nobility and Analogous Traditional Elites. And he's very involved in these fascist operations in Latin America. And he was very close to Pius XII, Pope Pius XII. But I want to read you what Morton Blackwell and Paul Weyrich wrote in this book. Morton Blackwell actually wrote the foreword to the book. What he wrote, "One does not have to accept papal infallibility to appreciate a case persuasively made. Using theological, moral, and prudential arguments, this book will convince many readers, whatever their faith, that good elites are legitimate, desirable, and necessary." And Paul Weyrich wrote, "Sadly, most American elites are now devoted to self-interest, not to service, which is one reason why affairs here go so badly. Your book," referring to Correa's book, "may help reawaken people to the realization that we need and can have an elite devoted to service." Well, what we're going to find out is that this elite is not devoted to service at all. Paul Weyrich and Morton Blackwell and the whole Council for National Policy represent the elites, and their purpose is to squash any rebellion, any opposition to their corporate takeover, not only of Latin America, but of the United States and of the whole world. Now, when you look at the founding board of the Council for National Policy, You see represented there the Knights of Malta. You see Rothschild. You see the Council on Foreign Relations. You see Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church. As Kelly mentioned, high-level Freemasons. And along with our very own evangelical TV preachers and heads of parachurch organizations. And they're all collaborating to give us disinformation so that we will support the agenda of the CFR and the Freemasons and the Rothschilds and the whole network of Nazis and globalists that are really conspiring together at the top to take over the world and to rid this world of unwanted populations. On the CFR, or on the Council for National Policy Governing Board, there were at least three CFR members, and probably more. We were just able to discover three of them. George Gilder, who's a Rockefeller, was a Rockefeller intimate. He was a program director of the Rockefeller-funded Manhattan Institute. Dr. Edward Teller. Dr. Edward Teller worked on the Manhattan Project, and he was the father of the hydrogen bomb. And then another was Congressman Guy Vander Jocht. Another founding member of the Council for National Policy who had connections to the CFR was Robert Waring Stoddard, whom I mentioned as one of those mentioned in the Belmont Brotherhood. I think I already went through the Western Goals Foundation principals, who were also the founders of the World Anti-Communist League. They are also found on the first governing board of the Council for National Policy. John Singlop, Daniel Graham, Mildred K. Jefferson, Sherman Unkafer, Hans Senholz. I found out that Hans Senholz was a pilot in Hitler's elite Luftwaffe, his Air Force. He is now a professor of economics at Grove City College. So you can see how these people have been interspersed among the evangelical institutions. They are literally everywhere. Going on with the list, Larry McDonald, Oliver North, and then there's Howard Phillips. Now, Howard Phillips was early on connected with the Council for National Policy. He was one of the founders of the Moral Majority, along with Paul Weyrich and Morton Blackwell and Richard Viguerie. He founded the U.S. Taxpayer Party, which has morphed into the Constitution Party. So if you're thinking that the Constitution Party is a conservative alternative to the Republican Party, think again, because Howard Phillips is behind it. He was on the advisory board of the World Anti-Communist League, that network of ex-Nazis that has circled the globe. And I'm going to go into more of Howard Phillips' activities later on, if I have time. Okay, then there was J. Peter Grace, who's CFR. He was on the founding board of the Council for National Policy. He was also the head of the Knights of Malta in the United States. There was William Simon, who was the Secretary of the Treasury under, I believe, Nixon's administration. He was also CFR and Knights of Malta. And here's something very, very interesting. A current member and an early member of the Council for National Policy was Catherine Teague Rothschild. So here we see Rothschild, the House of Rothschild, represented on the Council for National Policy. And if you want to learn more about the House of Rothschild, I went into it as the guiding force and the money behind the Zionist movement. In my previous series on the Merovingian conspiracy. Also on the founding board of the Council for National Policy was Frank Shakespeare. And he was U.S. Information Agency Director, and he was the Director of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. Now, these were founded by Reinhard Gehlen, who was Hitler's chief intelligence officer on the Russian front. And Frank Shakespeare also was chairman of Paul Weyrich's Heritage Foundation for a time. Also, I mentioned Edward Teller. Edward Teller was the father of the atom bomb. He was a member of the Manhattan Project. He became the architect of the hydrogen bomb, and he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and also a member of the Board of Governors of the new CNP. So now you have an idea of who the founding members and who was the money behind the Council for National Policy. And here we see right-wing and left-wing collaborating together. Well, what gives? How can this be? How can CFR members, communists, collaborate with anti-communists? And I think the answer was found in a statement that was made by Terry Dolan. Terry Dolan was a homosexual. He worked with Paul Weyrich and Howard Phillips and Morton Blackwell in forming the Moral Majority way back in the late 70s, Richard Viguerie. And Dolan founded the National Conservative Political Action Committee. And he was a former member of Moon's advisory board for Causa USA. And Terry Dolan said this. He said that the secret of fundraising is to try to make them angry and to stir up hostilities. The shriller you are, the easier it is to raise funds. That's the nature of the beast. So the purpose of the founding of the Council for National Policy was to stir up hostilities. And isn't that what these people have done now, lo, these 25 years? If you look at the members of the Council for National Policy, even if you don't know their backgrounds, if you look at what they're doing, they are professional agitators. They're moving the Christians off of their complacent in a good way. You know, the Lord doesn't want revolutionaries in his church. He wants us to be model citizens. But the Council for National Policy has so agitated the Christians that many of them are at the point of joining a revolution against our government. And I just like to name some of the members of the Council for National Policy who present themselves as Christians, and so that the listeners will take note what type of organization these people really belong to and will begin to examine what it is that they're saying and to begin to see them as agents provocateurs. I'm going to start with John Ankerberg, Theodore Baer, Gary Bauer, John Beckett, that's Intercessors for America, Morton Blackwell, David Breeze, William Bright, Larry Burkett, the Coors family, which presents themselves as Christians, but they fund both right and left, the DeVoe family, Kelly mentioned, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, Stuart Epperson, Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily. Be careful what you read on WorldNet Daily.
Who's the Stuart Epperson?
Epperson, I can't think of the organization that he heads now. But I do recognize. He's in my database.
Okay, I wonder, yeah, look up Stuart Epperson, Phyllis. Yes, I'm very interested as to seeing how, which we don't have, maybe you can come on tomorrow, because I wanted to talk about Cindy Sheehan, the mother in Texas bothering Bush. And what's been interesting is watching all the CMPers, how they handle this situation. in this story, and how WorldNet Daily has handled it and her, their attacks upon her, Drudge's attacks on her, Rush Limbaugh's attacks on her. They're all attacking her as if, you know, she's doing something wrong. And maybe she's a plant also from the other side. I'm not sure. But it's quite interesting to see all their responses. When I watch what the CMPers do, it's very interesting.
One thing I want to mention about Joseph Farah, his World Journalism Center is funded by Richard Mellon Scaife.
Who's that?
So, and Scaife, of course, funds both sides of the street. He funds pro-abortionists and he funds right-wing causes. And, of course, the agenda here is to stir up hostilities on both sides. Okay, do you want me to go through the list again?
Yeah, keep going. We got a few more minutes.
Okay, Michael Ferris, Ed Fulner, Willard Garvey. Of course, you mentioned Jesse Helms, Donald Hodel.
Hodel, yes.
Reed Irvine.
Oh, yeah, he's really bad. But that's Accuracy in Media.
Uh-huh, Accuracy in Media. Bob Jones. That's not the Bob Jones, the false prophet. That's Bob Jones III of Bob Jones University.
Okay.
D. James Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kincaid. Larry Klayman. Beverly LaHaye. Tim LaHaye. Marlon Maddox of Point of View, Peter Marshall, the author, the son of Catherine Marshall.
He's the author of Our Christian Heritage of Our Country.
Right, and The Light and the Glory,
yeah,
those books about our founding fathers.
How Christian it was, yes.
Yeah, how Christian they were. Pat Matriciana, Jeremiah Films, Don McElvaney.
Yes.
Ed McAteer, Edwin Meese, let's see, Tom Minery with Focus on the Family, Charles Missler, Barbara Monteith.
Stanley Monteith.
Sam Moore. Now, Sam Moore is connected with the Thomas Nelson Publishers.
And Nelson Publishers is a bad group.
Yep. Gary North, Oliver North, Paige Patterson was connected with the Southern Baptist Convention, Howard Phillips, Larry Pratt, Ralph Reed.
We're out of time. I'd love for you to come back tomorrow if you can. Barbara, we even have an Alabamian who's a member. Her name's Uni Smith, and she's the head of Eagle Forum of Alabama. Ralph Reed's real close. He's in Georgia, and he gets a lot of money from the gamblers on the Indian reservations and pumps it into our Christian coalition locally. So we have a lot of problems with these Christian groups. They're really hurting the problems with getting truth out and helping us stop the increase of debauchery in this country. Barbara, your information is just priceless, unbelievable your work has been.